everything old is new again. That's the, well, it's not Peter Allen. It's a Peter Allen song, but that is from The Boy from Oz, with a sung by, you might have heard of this guy, Hugh Jackman. He's having some success on Broadway now as we speak. And so I thought I would play that as a way to welcome the guest on my program here on Dave's Gone By. It's another radio broadcaster. We were having a wonderful time with Pete Fornatel earlier in the show from WFUV Radio. Now we have someone who is on WBAI FM in New York, and he's been doing his program called Everything Old Is New Again, dedicated to classic songs, the American Songbook, also theater music. So I want to ask him about his show and his life, and also the big benefit that he'll be doing for WBAI Radio in, it's next week. So without further ado, sorry, I'm a little discombobulated there because I had to do some stuff on iTunes, but I'm collecting my head, and I'm now in the zone, I'm in the moment, and making everything old new with David Kenny. Welcome, David Kenny.
Well, thank you for the welcome. It's so good to hear your voice. You know, you have such a great radio voice. I love listening to you. It's really quite wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much. My goodness. And that always sounds so much better when one radio person compliments another, because they know. Yeah, I mean, of course, he's blowing smoke up my tush, but I don't care.
Not at all. Not at all. And what a great segment. And I forgot what a great arrangement that song had on the show The Boy from Oz. It's just wonderful.
Have you seen the Hugh Jackman show, the biggest thing in New York at the moment?
No. I would love to.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. How long have you been doing Everything Old Is New Again on WBAI Radio?
Since June of 1979.
79? Oh my, I thought it was only like 10 years or something like that.
You know, we were in the overnight for a good 20 years before they moved us to Sunday nights at 9. That was about 1999. So we did about 20 years in the overnight, which I love overnight radio. It's really quite wonderful. People aren't ironing their pants or making their lunch or getting ready the next day for work. They're sitting there and they're listening to you in their armchair.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I've done my share of overnights, and there is something wonderful about it if you can be awake. It's sort of like the first hour, no problem. Second hour, you start to fade. And then in the last half hour, you pick it up again. But there's that twilight moment in that, yeah. You know, I don't know how long. Were you full overnight, like 4 or 5 hours, or how long?
Yeah, we did a 3-hour show from 3 a.m. to 6.
Yeah, isn't that like between 4:30 and 5:15? You're sort of in another zone there.
Yeah.
You're not really in America at that point.
Really mellow music, and it's really, people are calling you up. People were listening. It was so great to get the phone calls, mainly from industry people, hotel lobbies, laundry places where people were doing laundry all night long, that kind of stuff, post offices, people who were working. It's New York, so, you know, it's a 24-hour.
Oh, of course. So how did you pitch that show to BAI? How did you say, you know, this was before you had the 2-hour Sunday night show, so if you have the overnight, how did you say, I want to do a show with this and this kind of music?
Well, there wasn't anything like it on BAI. BAI, particularly at that time, was really strong in arts programming, much more than it is now. But at that time, they had lots of wonderful classical music programs, jazz programs, but they didn't have anything that really celebrated the Great American Songbook as it became to know, probably in the 1980s. People began to use that phrase. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing like that celebrated the music of Frank Sinatra and Judy Garland. And back then, I was really into music from the 40s and the 20s and the 30s and so forth. It wasn't until probably the mid-80s when I met Kurt Davis of the New York Post that I began to incorporate more contemporary cabaret songs that were being written. And the ever-evolving Great American Songbook continues.
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the ways that I rediscovered your program, because I've listened to it on and off over the years, was, you know, because you, like me, you send out a weekly mailer to let people know what's going to be on your show. And I saw that you were doing a tribute to Nina Simone, who is one of my favorites. Well, Nina Simone, come on. She's unbelievable. So I, on that same show, you mentioned that you were also doing a tribute to the late Eva Cassidy. And I was like, who is that? Never, and I know Judy Collins, and I'm not that I met her, I'm saying the music of everyone from Judy Collins to Joni Mitchell to Nancy Lamott to all the people who are somewhat in the same Vane, and Stanley Denny in Fairport Convention. So how did I miss Eva Cassidy? So, all right, let me check it out. And you play Who Knows Where the Time Goes, her version.
Oh, okay, sure.
And it just, I was like, oh my God, who was this? And I went and, you know, grabbed all her albums from the library and started really listening up on her stuff. And not all of, some of it is too slick for my taste, but I thank you for...
Well, you know, I love hearing that. I love it. Mainly more than, I don't, you know, I was just thinking about this sometime this week about how getting into radio, and it was all about just sharing music much more than talking on the air. I was just more comfortable with just spinning music, and the talking just had to come with it, of course.
Right, well, yeah.
You want to share the information about the song more than, you know, anything else.
Well, did you grow up like I did, you know, playing DJ with your record player? You know, you had the 45s and you put them on and you talk a little and then you play more and more. Did you do that?
Yes, I did. And, you know, it's interesting. I used to do that and with a completely different sound of music, more of the music of James Taylor and Judy Collins and Carly Simon and the pop and the folk sound of the late 60s, early 70s, when I would listen to Pete Fornatel.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I remember listening to Pete Fornatel on WNEW when he was in the late 60s, early 70s, following all those great guys of radio like Jonathan Schwartz and Scott Muni and Dave Herman. I don't know if those you remember those names or not, but they were rock and roll, and it was incredible, and I loved listening to them. And I learned my craft from listening to them.
Hmm. But your niche, you discovered the one is like, hey, we need a show. Because at that point, especially, there was tons of rock and roll on New York radio. But to find that little niche program of, hey, where is the Great American Songbook? Where are the Rosemary Clooneys and the Tony Bennetts and the Sinatras? Unless you put on, you know, kind of a barbershop quartet, you know, the kinds of stations you would put on in the barbershop and here, there. Not WHLI, what was another one? Well, NEWAM.
NEWAM, and then it evolved to WQEW, but there was also WHLI, you're right, and there was another one in Long Island, I remember, that survived. WOR did it for a while.
Yeah.
WPAT, stations in the area. And that's also the other thing about it was it evolved from a radio show that I had in college called The Great Entertainer, in which I would take one particular entertainer and that would cover the entire 2 hours of just their music, giving a lot of biographical information. But when I knew I came to New York, I knew that that would be just too much work when not in college anymore. And I wanted to be able to play more music than just the one particular person you spotlight on. I like to introduce other things in between. So there's a lot of different segments on my show, which we take one song and we listen to four different renditions of that song throughout the two-hour period.
Which I think is a wonderful idea. I want to do that, too. I stole segues from Pete Fornatel. I'm going to steal that different version thing from you at some point. Sorry.
Well, you know what Liza Minnelli said? Liza Minnelli says, I always steal from the best. So I've been stealing things from people, too. You know, certainly my ideas are not original. They've been around since, you know, radio began way back when.
Hey, you mentioned college and college radio. Where did you go to college? What was your station?
Emerson College in Boston.
Cool.
WERS. Yeah, I love that station. It's still going strong.
Still going. Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to hear that. And you're now on, of course, WBAI, which is, have you done any commercial radio station stuff, or did you go right from Emerson to BAI, or what was the path?
Right to BAI. It's always been non-commercial, which I'm spoiled because I don't have to worry about selling anything.
Right. Well, you have to do well, not that it's a bad thing, but you do have to do pledge drives, I'm sure, and all of that, but still, what?
Oh, Dave.
What?
Dave, why did you mention that?
Well, don't you?
That is so depressing. Yes, we do. I forgot about fundraising.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I hate it.
It's just so hard, you know, to stand there begging for money. But, you know, people, the audiences are really strong, and they really particularly are drawn to this sound of music. And I think the energy, particularly during that show, I have the highest fulfillment rate of all shows on BAI. As far as those who get pledges, you know, I may not make millions of dollars like some of the other shows, like Gary Knoll or Hugh Hamilton, who have these five-day stretches, but once a week we make about $2,000 or $3,000 during our drive, and all that money comes in. It's just not blown up.
And you're also now doing next weekend, the 18th, which would be next Sunday. Aren't you doing a live benefit thing for the radio station?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it because every year I produce a holiday show at the studio. But this time I decided to do a live broadcast from the Metropolitan Room, which is at 22nd Street in Manhattan. And we've got a great cast of people.
Such as?
Erica, who's just released a brand new CD. Melissa Erica will be there. And we also have Robert Cuccioli, who's doing Jacques Brel in New York now. He'll be there. And a lot of cabaret people like Tom Anderson, Eric Comstock, Barbara Fasano, Mary Foster Conklin, Karen Oberlin, who's been at the Algonquin over and over again, will be a part of it. I'm so excited.
Several Sweet.
Other, and, yeah.
How much are tickets?
$25.
Whoa.
And then the two-drink minimum. Yeah.
Oh, well,
wonderful show.
Yeah, but no, that's pretty much a bargain for a benefit and all those people that you mentioned. And people can get tickets, by the way, 212-206-0440 for the benefit at the Metropolitan Room, 34 West 22nd Street. This is Sunday, December 18th, and it's unless I'm mistaken, it's an afternoon show. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, am I right?
Exactly.
Cool.
We're recording, yeah, we're really excited about it.
So are you going to be playing it live on the station, or are you going to record it and then play it that night?
Record it and play it another time, not that night, but
another
time.
Cool. Yeah.
And we've got some giveaways, too, because, you know, I just love doing that sort of thing. So we've got John Fricke donated his new book, Judy Garland, A Legendary Film Career. And Michael Feinstein gave us some CDs, and James Gavin will be there giving us a copy of his book on Chet Baker.
Ooh.
So it's going to be a nice group of people who just come in to see the show.
Now, here's a question.
We'll chat later. Yes,
no, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to go far afield. And I don't mean this question to be offensive in any way, but there's a setup for a question, isn't it?
Now I'm scared.
I'm only asking it because it also came up this week, and I forget under what other context, but there's the thing of what is it, and also because I was talking about Elliot Tiber earlier in the show, but what is it about Judy Garland that ... resonates with a certain segment of the population?
A certain segment of the population?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, you got to tell me, Dave.
All right, let's, and I honestly don't know what your proclivities are or anything like that, but I'm just kind of, because I know Elliot Tiber, certainly, and when he met Judy Garland, his whole world, you know, he was like, oh my God, I met you, because he got to put her on a boat and get her to a party, right, and he met her and blah, blah, blah. And again, it was like, you kind of get the sense of what that meant to him, but I'm still trying to understand what is it about her that means something to, let's just say, a good a percentage of your listenership, if not yourself or to you.
Right.
How's
you
that?
Mean
is
the
that fair?
Population. The gay population.
Fair enough. Okay.
Because that has been a question that has been asked for decades. You know, I mean, people have said, and Liza, I think, gives the greatest answer. And her answer to that question is, they have good taste.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. But
okay, that is
the diva
but, you know,
thing.
If you really go into it historically, you know, there was a period of time, and it still exists, of course, today, that the gay population was oppressed and forced into the closet and suffered a great deal. And I think Garland wore her tragedies on her sleeve, and people could relate to those tragedies. But she also laughed through a lot of them. And I think a lot of the gay population at that time, while they were being oppressed and repressed, they laughed through a lot of their stuff, and they survived it. So I think that they sort of related to her on that level, the hard times and being able to laugh through their difficulties.
And then does that translate into the appeal of both the older and the modern divas, from the Mermans to the Betty Buckleys, this persona that they have?
I think theater is just an atmosphere that is accepting.
Hmm.
So people are turned on to that sound of music. And, you know, you also wonder that, you know, it's sort of like a snowball effect, I think. I think just the Great American Songbook in general, to anyone, whether gay or straight, who listens to someone, immediately you hear that person sing, and then you want to hear more people sing these songs. Hmm. And it snowballed. That's what happened with me. I mean, I got turned on to theater music, and then someone else turned me on to big band, and I heard Sinatra. And then hearing Sinatra, you want to hear Bennett, you want to hear Clooney, and you want to hear Nat Cole, and it just snowballs. And then you remember as a little kid seeing Judy Garland and sing Over the Rainbow, and then you also, you know, it snowballs, and you want to hear other singers of the day.
And can I ask, who are the singers of today, if there are? I mean, obviously you mentioned very, very talented people who are going to be at your benefit and the people that you play on your radio show, but are there people who have that specialness, that whatever it is, that could put them in the tiers of a Tony Bennett, a Frank Sinatra, a Dean Martin, a Rosie Clooney, a Garland? Or is there something that they're great, but they're just not, there's something missing?
No, I don't think it's you can say something's missing, but they're not given the opportunity that Garland and Sinatra and Bennett had.
Hmm.
You know, they had Garland and Sinatra and Bennett had the benefit of performing in front of a live audience and learning through vaudeville or the big band stages or the concert stages or the small clubs. And a lot of the people that are at the benefit, by the way, mm-hmm. I see these guys perform. They know how to handle an audience. And they have that little something extra, the ability to hold an audience by just singing with a piano, which Garland could do and Bennett could do and Sinatra could do and all the greats.
Right.
Rosemary Clooney, when she was in Cabaret in the 90s singing at Rainbow and Stars, you know, she could just hold a room, but she learned how to do that.
Barbara Cook also, today, those kind of people, yeah.
Exactly. A lot of people today don't have that, you know, a lot of times they're just thrown into a studio. But Bublé's great. You know, Peter Cincotti came along, and he's got some great things. And David Campbell, some young talent.
Do you have much use for the American Idol winner type and Star Search sort of folks who come out of that?
Because
sometimes they're doing the Great American Songbook stuff, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I began watching it very late, mm-hmm. probably about into its seventh year. And I mainly got most of my information about it through Stephen Holden's comments in his reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And they were about how the talent is screechy and so forth. It's a lot of flash and not a lot of depth. And it's unfortunate for them that they really need, I think, the people who are on that stage really need to get into the small clubs and build up the talent before they go for the flash.
Cool.
I think flash is a great place to hide, but, you know, it's not going to carry you forever.
Very, very. You sound like Roy Sander there for a moment, a cabaret critic I've known for many, many years.
I learned a lot from Roy Sander.
Everybody has. Yeah. How's he doing, by the way? I haven't been in touch for many years, but I think he's still doing what he does, is he?
Yeah, he does. I sat with Roy Sander on part of the Metro Star Challenge this summer.
Ooh.
And I was a guest judge, and he was a permanent judge. He was there every week with Sherry Eager and Rob Lester.
Okay. Well, I certainly know Sherry very well. I don't know Rob Lester, though.
And he, well, you know, Roy is just doing great.
Oh, wonderful. So, well,
actually, the winner of the Metro Challenge will be at our benefit next week. She's singing a couple songs as well, Marissa Mulder.
Marissa Mulder.
We're glad to have her. So I get a chance to bring in some people who I've known for decades performing, and then this new talent comes along, and I'm excited to introduce her.
Now, we're talking with David Kenny. I'm so used to calling myself Dave that everybody else becomes Dave. He is, of course, the host of Everything Old is New Again on WBAI Radio in New York every Sunday night from 9 until 11 p.m. New York time. Let me ask, since you're on BAI, which is and remains a non-commercial station, and since any fundraising that you do, any penny that comes in for the show goes to the station rather than you, what's your day job?
Well, party planning.
Oh.
Doing party planning for a while and catering. Yeah.
You cook?
No. I'm organizing events.
Nice. So what are some of the big events that you do? Have you, you know?
Oh, weddings, bar mitzvahs, various things like that. You know, small little in-home parties, a lot of holiday parties right now.
Of course,
so we're going into people's homes and sending in a wait staff and sending in a caterer with food. I don't work particularly with any particular caterer. I hire caterers based on the events and so forth and so on.
Yeah. Nice. And I guess on a Sunday night, people aren't really doing much other than, you know, watching TV or football, so that's a quiet night that you can go and do your show, whereas a Saturday night you couldn't possibly do your radio show live because it would be cutting in.
I love doing radio live.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, one thing that you're doing that I don't like to do is phoners, and you're really good at it. And for me, it's such a challenge to know when the person is done speaking, and you know the facial reactions back and forth. I always need to have the person in studio with me, so I usually pretty much say if they're not in town and they can't come on, then let's wait till they are in town. But I know you do a lot of phoners, and it's always great. You always handle them very well.
Well, thanks. And that's just the mother of necessity. I mean, back when I was doing this show on Long Island, I would make more of a point of, well, come on, can you get to Long Island? It's not that – you get on the train, and it was great to have people in person. But once I'm – even if I were in Denver, I would make more of a point of it to say, oh, well, once someone's in town, come by the radio station. But up here in, you know, an hour and 10 minutes north of Denver – in a college station, if I don't do phoners, I really can't talk to much of anybody except the student body here. And while that would be fun, I would miss out on talking to people like David Kenny from WBAI.
I find out the older talent are the people who really want to get out there and do it live. You know, I've had Keely Smith on the phone, Keely Smith in studio with me several times. And here she is getting herself down to Wall Street and Marilyn May. And some the older talent, these well-established talents who've been around, and they just hop in a car and they get themselves down to the station. I think the younger ones are more reluctant to do it. You know, the younger ones are like, oh, do I have to come in? Can't we do it on the phone?
Can we Skype it? You know, that sort of thing. Well, the older talent also maybe remembers and appreciates radio a little bit more than younger folks do.
Again, it's that old school.
Yeah.
So they're speaking, out there selling themselves.
Speaking of your brushes with the greats like Keely Smith, who are some of the greats that you've had on your show or that you've interviewed or talked to? Any anecdotes or thoughts?
You're fading here on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, that's another problem of phone interviews. Can you hear me better now?
Now I can hear you.
Oh, great. I was asking about other brushes with greatness, some of the folks that you've had on your show or interviewed in other capacities, and memories of them or anecdotes about them.
Oh, you know, a lot of wonderful people. Probably the most recent and was Phoebe Snow.
Phoebe Snow? Well, she just died recently, so, yeah.
Just after her daughter had passed away, and she was ready to come back into showbiz and to really go forth and build her career again. And then, of course, we know she passed away. And she was just so... Mm-hmm. So honest, so direct, so easy to be with, and still very, very compassionate. You can just imagine how difficult her life was for so many years caring for her daughter, and how she just wanted her daughter to be with her at all times, to stop her career, to just take care of her daughter. Mm-hmm. Some other wonderful people. Michael Feinstein comes up all the time.
Cool.
And Andre Markovici just was visiting us. And Margaret Whiting was a great fan of the show. We gave her a big tribute last year after her passing.
Sure.
And Rita Moreno is very funny. She just told it like it is. She told me as it was. I was trying to look through a magnifying glass to see some of the liner notes. And she said, oh, honey, get over yourself and buy yourself a pair of glasses at Duane Reade. Very direct. But a lot of wonderful people come on the show.
You know, I somehow figured Rita Moreno would be great like that. I just figured it. Yeah. Were there any sort of disaster stories or stories about people that you were so looking forward to and then turned out to be nasty?
I had a
real
hard time.
Sorry? What?
Dave.
You can't hear me? Oh, how about now? Can you hear me now?
A little bit better, yeah.
Ah, okay. I apologize to listeners for potting up my mic a little high and distortion-y, but hopefully Dave Kenny will hear me a little bit better. I was just asking if there were any disaster stories or people that you were really excited to meet or have on the show and they turned out to be mean or dark or nasty.
No,
cool.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, anybody who you get to come down to Wall Street on a Sunday night, they do it because they're willing to be there, not because they're forced to be there. And everyone I've ever met has been so nice. And a lot of times they come on and they perform live in studio. And that's a thrill, too, to be sitting a few feet away from Melissa Errico singing songs from her CDs, or Karen Mason, who is just a doll, performing for you. Nothing. The only disasters come from probably our ops department, and more than anything, where, you know, you're supposed to have a live segment scheduled, and the singer's there ready to sing, and the studio's not set for them.
Mm.
You know, that's always embarrassing. And that can happen in radio quite a bit. You know, where, you know, you're relying on the station to come through with their part, and they don't. But as far as anyone who's visited me, no, these people are great, wonderful.
Well, let's talk a little bit.
More and more people live on the show. We had we just had Melissa Errico up 2 weeks ago, and she was wonderful.
Cool. Let me ask, though, about BAI, because it's a station with a tremendous amount of history, some of it amazing, some of it not so much, and you've been there for 30-odd years, and it's been going through some tough times over the past few years especially. I imagine you stay out of the politics of all of that, but still, I mean, how has it been trying to navigate a station that's been really on a very rocky road for a while?
Yeah, you know, BAI, of course, you know, has an incredible history. I mean, Lou Hill donated the station to the Pacifica Foundation, and it's all about keeping corporate money away from the airwaves. And it's very important because corporate money does influence the news we hear and the music that's played and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful because there's a lot of great freedom at BAI. But because of that, finances are always a struggle, and people come in with their political agendas. And I mentioned earlier in 1979 that the station had a really strong arts history, and somewhere in the 80s and through the 90s, we lost that. And only recently, in the past 2 to 3 years, are they starting to rebuild their relationships with the arts community, because they were really focusing on politics, I think much more than they should have, because on my show, as you say, I stay out of the politics. I do, on purpose, because I believe it's a time for people to breathe. You know, we fight for bread, but we fight for roses, too.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think of my show as the roses, and other shows that are more politically based as the bread.
Right. I know David Rothenberg does a show that balances the two.
Engaging with the arts community more and more.
Well, that's good.
It'll be easier for me as well, as more and more people become aware that BAI is now welcoming the arts community back.
Well, that's good. Do they have a station man or a program director? Because they were going through all sorts of...
We have an interim program director.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had him for about a year and a half. And I think sometime in 2012, they will be hiring a permanent program director.
Cool.
We just had a new station manager who's probably been there about 2 years at this point. He's really wonderful.
Oh, good.
And he'll be at the broadcast as well, the benefit show next week as well, introducing the show.
And his name is? Who is that?
Bertolt.
Okay.
Bremers.
Bertolt Bremers will be, along with David Kenny and everyone listening to this program, well, in New York anyway, at the Metropolitan Room on Sunday, December 18th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, for the big WBAI benefit show, with David Kenny hosting people like, Melissa Errico will be there? Was one of them.
Melissa Errico and Robert Cruccioli will be there. John Bucchino is going to be there, and he's going to perform the song Grateful. I don't know if you're aware of that song, but it is a treasure.
Mm. And
Tom Anderson, Barbara Fasano, Mary Foster Conklin, again, the brand new talent, Marissa Mulder will be there, Karen Oberlin, Kendra Shank, Tom Anderson. It's an exciting day.
Great. Well, we need to wrap up our conversation with David Kenny, but I want to ask you before we go, do you have a favorite all-time song?
Oh. about 500.
That's okay. That's all right.
Do you want to hear all of them?
Well, you can pick like four or five. I don't know if I have them to play. I'm just asking. But
Someone to watch over me.
Mm.
Don't ever leave me. I'm old-fashioned. Come in from the rain is a favorite of mine, and that's written in 1970. So.
Come in from the rain.
And grateful. Grateful will always be at the top of my list.
I don't know. I'm trying to find one of these on, let's see. I must have someone to watch over me on the computer here. Let's see. Oh, boy.
So you have everything on the computer there.
Well, I wish I had a lot more on the computer.
Push it up.
I'm sorry, what?
With a button and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's digital.
LPs and 78s.
Do you really play 78s? You really play 78s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not as easy to do it as I used to do it 20 years ago. But, yeah, we still do some. People still send me stuff. Listeners will send me things. They say, Dave, I don't have room for my apartment, or I'm, you know, moving out of my apartment to someplace else. Older people who are retiring and moving into you know, homes and stuff will send me 78s. I've got some wonderful original 78 box 78s from Hildegard.
Oh, my gosh.
Wonderful to have.
Well, that's great. And you know, again, that's the kind of show that you can only usually get on a college station or an independent place like WBAI. And I should mention, first of all, what's the numbers on BAI? I should have looked this up.
The station is broadcast at 99.5, but we also stream our audio, as you do,
at
WBAI.org. If they go to the website at any time, they can listen to the archives. And music shows are archived for 14 days.
Cool. So you have to, you know, within the last 2 weeks, if you miss a show.
And I have my website as well, and they have access to listening to archives there as well, which is oldisnew.org.
Oldisnew.org. That's David Kenny's website. So, yeah, check him out tomorrow night on the air. You can do it on the internet, or if you're in New York, certainly 99.5 WBAI-FM. And, of course, if you're in New York next weekend, next Sunday afternoon, the 18th, go to the Metropolitan Room. It's only $25 plus a two-drink minimum, and it supports the radio station. 212-206-0440 is the number for tickets and information to the BAI benefit. 212-206-0440. Well, David Kenny, it is noon here, which means we have to get on with other aspects of this program, but I want to thank you so much for being in the neighborhood, sharing your taste, sharing your music, and sharing your life and your show.
Dave, you're fading, but I want to thank you very much. I had such a great time being on the air with you.
Likewise, man. Thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.